Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. We start today's exchange with the mayor of Coos Bay, Oregon, Joe Benetti. As a retired restaurant owner, Mayor Benetti also serves as vice chairman on the Coos County Airport District Board of Commissioners. He's a board director with Oregon Pacific Bank, a member of Coos County Urban Renewal and Coos County Tourism Advisory Committee, and the Southwestern Oregon Workforce Investment Board. Welcome to the exchange, Mayor.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it sounds like you keep pretty busy.
Yes, busier than I want to at times, but no, it's all for a good cause, and I really love this city, and there's a lot to offer here, so yes.
Well, let's start our exchange by introducing our listeners to your city. Geographically, where is Coos Bay?
It's on the southern coast. Let's see, we're off the way I come to Coos Bay. You can come through Florence, which is about an hour out down the coast, or I come down I-5 and turn on 38, go through Drain and Reachport and into Coos Bay, which is about 2 hours from I-5.
Okay. So, and what's the population and the demographic makeup of the city?
Around 16,000. And we're also the largest city on the Oregon coast.
Okay. And how long have you been mayor?
Well, it goes in two phases. So I was on the city council for three terms, and I started in 1986. And in 2000, I ran for mayor, and I served three terms. After three terms, which ended in 2006, I ran again in 2016, and I'm on my fifth term now.
Wow. Okay. So most of your life, you've been mayor.
I've been mayor for—so they're two-year terms, so this will be 10 years when it finishes in 2026, and then three terms before that. So 16 years as mayor.
Well, tell me your story. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up, I was born and raised in Reno, Nevada. My grandparents came over from Italy, and my grandfather went through Ellis Island and worked on the railroad and ended up in Sparks, Nevada, and then settled in Reno and brought my grandmother over, and my father and three siblings were raised there and born there. And so I grew up and I enjoyed that area. I still go back. I still have family, but the area was changing and I just wanted a different climate. Was on vacation and I got as far as Coos Bay and I had to go back. And so my discussion and commentary always is, if I would have gone further up the coast or somewhere else, you know, would I have been there? But Coos Bay was somewhere I wanted to come back, and I did. And we moved here in 1978, and I opened up an Italian restaurant in 1979.
So what prompted you to run for mayor?
So being a business and a restaurateur, I felt that there needed to be some things done. First, my first priority was to do a boardwalk in the backside. So I would go to council meetings and I would go to different events that the city would put on at that time. And I would have discussions with the council and also the city manager. And during one of my discussions with the city manager, I was talking to him, and I expressed that I felt there needs to be some things addressed and taken care of. And he said, well, you should do something about that, Joe. And I said, well, Bill, I am. I'm talking to you about it. And he says, no, you should run for city council. So that prompted me to think about doing that, and I decided to go ahead and do that. Of course, when I decided to do it, there was 12 other people running for the term. And in Coos Bay, the top three vote-getters are elected. And I came in second with a good friend of mine now, Bill Grile, who ended up being city manager and was a county planner. And anyway, we were elected. And one of our main goals was to have a boardwalk along our waterfront. It was my backside of my restaurant was 101 going north. And my front door was 101 going south. The majority of our tourism at that time and traffic was 60% going north. And we felt that we needed to upgrade our look. And so we worked on that with other local entities and people. And it took 8 years, but we got it done finally. So anyway, that was my first goal of doing something that I wanted to get done. So
you were dissatisfied. You were expressing your dissatisfaction. You were invited to do something about it, and you did.
I did. You know, and that's what's important. I mean, sitting as mayor, I think is important. I know it's important that we listen to the citizens. We don't always agree with them. They don't always agree with us, but that's not the point. The point is that we have the interaction and we listen to them, and a lot of good ideas come from those discussions. And I think it's important that we keep open-mindedness on when we talk to our citizens. It's easy to say no and give all the reasons why we can't address something or do something, but I think we need to look at it differently than just saying no or why we can't get there.
Well, what kind of governing structure is in Coos Bay? You mentioned the city manager, your city councilors. How many are there?
So there's seven that sit on the city council, including myself. And then so there's six councilors, and then three run every 2 years, and they're four-year terms. And then as mayor, I run every 2 years. And then we have our city manager that we oversee, but she oversees all the other personnel. We're at over 125 employees now and so many different departments, and she does a great job. So we're fortunate to have the staff that we do. They're always willing to listen to us, and we always have goals and objectives, and there's always new ones, and they're always willing to take them on and try to accomplish it. So we're fortunate.
And you're dealing with all the challenges of a city, about 17,000, with what kind of budget?
16,000, and it's this year is going to be about like 80-some million, a little over 80 million.
Okay. My guest is Joe Benetti, mayor of Coos Bay, Oregon. Mayor, Governor Tina Kotek recently paid a visit to your region. How was that?
So stepping back a little bit, she had also was here shortly after she was elected, and she had made it promised to visit every area during her tenure, and she did within a few months. And she came here, and we talked about issues that we had. We needed help with economic development, infrastructure, and housing were key things. So she came back, and she met with some people that Matt Vorstra, an executive director of North Bend City Housing Authority, and also Ann Cook, with executive director for the Coquille Indian Housing Authority, and then Nicole Rutherford, our city manager. And what we have is that we were awarded, there was a house bill at that time, I think it was 5019, that gave money to each region or certain regions. And we were fortunate to get $1.9 million for our area. It was to help with homelessness and housing. So we were working on that, and we haven't completed it and gotten to where we want. There's an area in the county called the Bologna Ranch, and we feel collectively that would be a good spot, because we have some shelter beds that we have and that we need to relocate. FEMA says they're in a waterway that needs to be relocated. So with that being there, it's 16 acres. It used to be like a Bologna Ranch for boys, and they have a commissary, and they have a dorm-type facility, and we feel that this could be a great facility for many and give them a way to rehab back into society in many different ways. So we're hoping that we can take that money and spend it there. It was awarded for us just in certain areas. So if we get her approval with the balance, we would like to move forward and try to purchase that property and work with different entities in there to make this a successful operation.
Now, you called it a Bologna Ranch?
Yeah, it's called the Bologna Ranch. Yeah, it was in the county. It's a county property now, and yeah, it's B-E-L-L-O-N-I, and it was in existence for many years, and unfortunately it closed, but it was a facility for boys, young boys that needed a place to go and live and some direction, and now it's empty, and we'd like to see it used for a good purpose again, and I think it would be wonderful for the whole area, not just Coos Bay, North Bend, but you have Bandon, Myrtle Point, the county, Coquille. You have a lot of cities in the whole county that could utilize this in a positive way.
When you learned that the governor was coming your way, what were your expectations prior to the meeting?
You know, I don't know if we have any expectations. We always have interaction with her. This mayor is very knowledgeable in all kinds of land use and operations. Well, you know, she was Speaker of the House for many years, and so she's very versed in the laws and the land use planning. So, you know, I always am hoping for help. I feel, and I'm not the only one, but we, in a rural area, I think sometimes we're neglected or overlooked compared to urban areas, and we're always trying to make ourselves known as that we're a viable area that needs some help and support. And so we're always going with that kind of context, and she's always willing to listen. So.
And coming out of that meeting, can you summarize it? How'd it go?
Well, I wasn't at the meeting, but talking with our city manager, Nicole, she felt it went very well. The governor was supportive of this project that we are moving forward to. And then also, besides just having that, we're always asking for infrastructure. Infrastructure is key, I felt, was in 2016 with my new counselors at that time. And so, like, for instance, we have a housing project of 400 homes going on, which is one of our goals. And so we were able to work with Timber Cove Housing Development to get this to happen. But the way that we were able to do it, it needed a pump station, and that pump station was $4 million. If you had the developer do it, it was a it would not have been a facility or an operation development that would happen. So the city of Coos Bay stepped up, and we agreed to pay for it. And so we even went to the legislature and asked for $4 million to help us with that. But we did get a loan from Biz Oregon, low interest. But beside the point, we want and this to be funded. And unfortunately, we were not funded through the legislative session. So we asked the governor, because she's always pushing for housing and housing development. So we talked to her about that also, and hopefully we can get some help from her and get that done. We will take it on, and the thing that we want to try to get the funding for is to not put this on the ratepayers to pay for this. You know, it's something that is needed, but we also would like to get this funded if possible, because we like to take some funds that we have and help for other housing development that we have in mind.
Did the governor express any concerns or interests?
About funding that? Yes. And about housing here? Yes. I mean, we have been very proactive in getting housing started here. So we're fortunate with the 400 home development. We're also looking at another piece of development that we've been working on for years. It's called Englewood, another part of our area. So Coos Bay has different regions. We have Eastside, we have Englewood, we have Empire, and then we have Coos Bay itself. And so Englewood is an area of ours that we're proud of, and it has some property that we've taken over, and Coos Bay has used Brownfields money to clean it up. It was a school back in the day that a private individual bought, and it burned down, and he left. And so it was on our shoulders to do something about it. The county had it for back taxes. We worked with them for them to acquire it, and then we cleaned it up. And so now it's ready for housing development, and we're getting close to having a developer go in there and do that. So we're proud about that. We're working with Berea Hospital. We believe in collaboration. They have 17 acres that we could look at developing. We were able to get a grant from DLCD of $250,000 to do a site development. When we met with a developer, he said, it's hard for me to make a proposal with it just sitting there without a site development. So we were able to accomplish that, and now we have a site development, and we had a proposal from an individual that did some analysis on it and determined how we can go about it. Of course, there's always a cost to it, and that's where asking for infrastructure, because, again, we would need a pump station, or we need a bridge so we could set up the housing in a different way. So infrastructure is key for development and housing development specifically. So those are the things that we are always hoping to get or get a grant for.
Well, it sounds like the governor would definitely be interested in housing development. She issued an executive order declaring a state of emergency around homelessness. Did she talk about that?
Yeah, she has more than once. I mean, when the first time we met her a couple of years ago, and then she's been here a couple of times after that, and she has definitely been interested in that. And that's why we are really engaging with the governor when we can to express our need for infrastructure to help with the housing. We feel that it's a partnership, and we're not asking the state or the governor to take on the whole burden. We're just asking for some assistance.
Were there some related issues you talked about, workforce programs, things of that nature?
Yeah, so, you know, we have workforce development, and, you know, we with different trade. And, you know, I'm on the SOWEB board, I'm the chair, and so we're always looking at trying to do trade-focused education and partnerships, you know. And, of course, we're always working with the younger individuals, if we can, to engage them in different things. Maritime is one. Soss Brothers, a local entity here, It's always interested in working with them, whether it's welding or actually getting on their tugs and doing trips with them to show them what a possibility and a career this could be. It's also in construction is another way that is important from here. We're always looking for construction jobs. With the housing development going on, it's important. Also, renewable energy is something that always is talked about, wind energy and other renewable energy, so which is a possibility of happening. And if it does, there's going to be many jobs needed for that. So, yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we return, we'll dive into the details of the goals and objectives of Coos Bay. I'll be right back with my guest, Coos Bay Mayor Joe Bonetti. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Joe Bonetti, mayor of Coos Bay, Oregon. Before the break, we were talking about the governor's visit to Coos Bay and leading up to the city's publicly posted two-year goals and objectives. So, Mayor, there's a public tracking document for your city's nine goals and objectives. Can you summarize what those goals are?
Well, for a better lifestyle, for sure. And then, you know, we're looking at housing, economic development, interacting with our citizens and also with our partners in the area, whether it's, we have Berry Hospital, we have the Coos County, we have the other neighboring cities, we have the Port of Coos Bay, all important to our livelihood here and our better livelihood and a good livelihood. So,
well, the time frame for those goals was from 2023 to 2025. Is there some process underway to update them for the next 2 years?
Yes, we just had a strategic plan meeting, and we just went through, it was a two-day process with the council and staff. I think it was very helpful and directed in how we should move forward from this point on. And so we should have those coming out here shortly with a list, and we'll be getting those posted. But they are really, they are around the same goals that we have, and just diversifying it a little bit and streamlining it, and because we've accomplished some, and there's some new things that we need to look at. So,
well, you mentioned working well together, and that's one. That's the first goal that I saw on your list, and it mentions promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's not a popular idea at the federal level. How's that going?
It goes well because we are strong believers in it, this council as a whole. I mean, I'm fortunate to be able to work with these individuals. There's at times that we don't always agree, and I think that's healthy. We should not always agree. But even when we don't, we walk away and come back to the table and are always friendly about it. But this council is 100% involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a goal that we've had for many years, and it's a philosophy that we have and that we'll continue on with. I know it's not popular in some areas, but, I think it's important that we make sure that we keep everyone has a say and they can be as they want in our area. So it's important.
How many schools and higher education institutions do you have in your region?
Well, higher education, we have one community college, which is our SOEB. Southwestern Oregon. It's our college, Southwestern Region. Our community college. I apologize. Anyway, Southwestern Oregon Community College, and they've been around for a long time. They're a great partner. They're in the city of Coos Bay. We work with them on many projects, and they're also good at helping develop and train individuals for job growth and in training. So,
well, schools and libraries have been struggling as of late, not only with state funding, but now with federal funding. And we just mentioned DEI, and so that's a problem. The kind of lessons that are being taught in schools, folks are now trying to restrict and constrain those and control those resources. Are you having any of that trickle-down effect in your region?
Fortunately, we are not. It's called D9, District 9, which our schools are involved, and we have a high school and middle schools and elementary schools, and they are not having any of those issues. Our community college also is not. We did have some people challenge the school board and also the community college board for positions that had a different philosophy. They were not elected, And the ones that were reelected and elected have the same philosophy that has been in place. Our school here, B9, I'm not sure how many years ago, maybe 5 years ago, they went on for a bond issue, and the voters did a $60 million bond, passed a $60 million bond to do a new middle school and help with the other schools that needed to be taken care of. So they've done a lot of redevelopment and new building for those individual schools, which I was pleased to see.
It sounds like you have a very supportive and cohesive community.
I think we do on most things, not everything. I mean, we're needing a new library in our area, and we went out for the bond issue twice, and it failed. So we're trying to do an analysis of what the community would support and what are they looking for that we have not tapped into. So it's, you know, it'll be something that we are going to be facing as one of our new goals and continue to work on that.
Well, earlier you mentioned public infrastructure, and that's a major focus of every city. What's your current assessment of what's going well and what needs more attention?
Well, I am proud. Like I said, in 2016, this is one of the main goals. And so we have two wastewater plants, which is not normal for a city, especially one our size, and 28 pump station, over 90 miles of wastewater lines. The thing is, it was the previous council is having struggle in moving forward and adopting or awarding a bid on that. Our first action was to award $24 million for Plant 2, which is out in our Empire area on the way to Charleston. And we have this an agreement with Charleston Sanitary District, so they have a partial ownership in that. But we got it passed, and we moved forward and got it built. And now, right now, Plant 1, we're doing a $24 million or $25 million upgrade, and we do pump stations all the time. So our community does well in having this done. We hired an economic development specialist to do an analysis for our funding for this and our structure and our fees, and he keeps us on track. We have spent over $70 million since 2016 in infrastructure, and so it's important. Besides creating jobs and having a good system and a clean system, and we're always concerned about our bay and being good stewards of our facilities, and our, you know, it's important that we continue on with that. So I'm proud. At this moment, it's able to stay, keep on that path and make sure that we get to a point that we can start lowering the rates for our sewer users, and that was what I'm hoping to happen. So, but we're on a good track right now.
Well, I hear the passion in you.
I do, and maybe sometimes it gets away with me, but I do. I mean, it's important. Our area is wonderful. I mean, it really is. And, you know, we have so much to offer here, and we're always trying to promote that and have other people understand it. Another item that we took on in 2016, Lucinda DeNovo, who's my council president, we had talked about, you know, that we needed to move forward in directions and as economic development happens, but we need to do something that we know we could contain and handle. And tourism was one of them. In that time, our tourism was really lacking and needed some help. Since 2016 to now, we have quadrupled our TLT, which is transient lodging tax. Those are taxes paid by tourists visiting us. Our community, it's like $148 million to spend in the Coos Bay, North Bend, Charleston area. Over $350 million is spent in the Coos County area. So I think we made a great impact. We have a lot to offer. People love it here. And we really got noticed a lot during the pandemic, outside activities, which we have many of. People kind of were gravitated to our area, and rightly so. We also have an airport. I can tell you without our and we have a state airport. We're a federal airport. We're one of six in the state. Without tourism, our airport would not exist. And so it's important that it all ties together. So, yeah, I'm proud of our area by far.
Well, it sounds like tourism is definitely an economic driver. And I saw that economic development is on your priority list in your document tracker. What other drivers are there in your economy?
Well, you know, economic development for one. For instance, that we're revitalizing the waterfront area, which is Front Street. We want a working waterfront. And so as you go down there, you'll see Tug's operations. We have four or five different new facilities being built. We want that to be, expand. Downtown, Empire District, we just have some buildings out there that we're looking at building some housing and retail down below. We also have Coos Bay Village, which was a $26 million shopping facility area that was really run down. It was something that needed to be taken on, and we got to develop to do that. The City of Coos Bay, through Urban Renewal Funds, were able to partner with him. We put in a light and a railroad crossing, which was important. That would have been a $2.5 million cost to him, but we were able to facilitate that. And then we have a $26 million development now, which generates income and taxes for our area, and plus the county and the state. And also Teakwood's another one that was taken on as an economic development process, more retail. Platinum Fitness went there. We have a furniture store that went there and some other ones. And there's another large facility that I understand is leased. Right now, we don't have any commercial property located on 101. It's all taken, and it's going to be developed by individual businesses. So, I think we're moving forward in a positive way. I want to really concentrate on the Empire area. To go out to Charleston, which has thousands of tourists that go out there on an annual basis, we need to fix that area up, and we're concentrating on trying to do that. We also have an urban renewal area out there that we can utilize some of that funding for, and so that's one of our main goals right now.
When you talk about urban renewal, what's your vision?
For urban renewal?
Yeah.
So urban renewal for me is critical and important, and I know there's some objectives to that, but in Coos Bay, we have two urban renewal districts and then what we call an overlay urban renewal district. Because of it, we're able to do many things. We can help facilitate, like the Coos Bay Village that got developed. We've had some other facilities that we have helped with. We used to call them facade grants, but now we're calling them improvement grants. And so the Tiger Hotel, which building, I should say, it's not a hotel any longer, but the tallest building on the Oregon coast. It needed some help. We had a developer come in and buy it. We were able to help facilitate that for him to fix the facade up. New sign, painted, and now it's an attraction again for our area. And we help other businesses do that. We ask them, how can we help you? How can we help your business? You know, what can we do for you? And so that's why it's important, these funds. And as long as they're available to us, we will keep using them. And I think it's an economic benefit for the city and individual businesses to help them get established and better their businesses.
Well, you talked about mixed-use housing. Where do you have that in your city?
So we have the Timber Cove going on, and then we've accomplished, we've done different planning for the ADU so individuals can have a small unit on their homes, which is important. We're looking at, the Englewood Project. We're looking, there's a place called Gloria Day Lutheran Church that has some property that they've donated for development, and we got a developer going there that's going to be I'm not sure it'll be low-income housing or middle-income housing, and so we're working on that. In Charleston, we're also working on those, Empire, we're working on those facilities. Like, we have some property now that some buildings were torn down. We're hoping to get a developer to retail on the bottom and housing on top. We're trying to do some more housing in the downtown area and some of our buildings on the second and third floors, which is critical to help downtown and area thrive, and like it would also in Empire. We're trying to... Yeah, all gamuts is what we're trying to accomplish.
Tell me about your affordable housing. I mean, homelessness is an issue everywhere. I'm assuming it's an issue where you are. Tell me about your affordable housing and what is the definition of affordable?
That's a good question. What's the definition for affordable? Well, so we have our North Bend city next to us, the city of North Bend, and they're doing low-income housing for 180 units. And so between the two cities, we're accomplishing a lot of different housing structure. What that range would be over there, I'm not sure what they're going to be charging for rent, but it's going to be low-income housing. My understanding is going to be on what you are earning, and they will be charging a percentage. We're looking at some housing that we can do in, you know, not so much the housing market. Well, for instance, the Timbercove property, the houses are going to be under 400,000. And I know that's a lot for some. But also what's happening is we're compacting because our stock right now, our vacancy factor is 1% to 3%, depending on who you talk to. And that really chokes that for individuals and job development here. So if we can get individuals to move into the 400 home development, and they will relieve some of the burden for the lower income housing, you know, I don't know, maybe $1,000 a month in rent or $1,500, but something that's affordable for them to live and work in. Workforce housing is important for us, probably the most important, you know, and we've got the Bologna Ranch that we're working with, you know, to get some lower income people out there with some of these beds that we had talked about that we have to relocate. So, you know, affordable housing is what people can afford. And unfortunately, our market for that is on the lower end. And so we're trying to raise that with that intent that people could start making more money, or if they can't at this time, they have somewhere to live. And right now, everyone's struggling to find a place to live.
Well, it sounds like you're well aware of what the problems are, and you're working on them. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us, Mayor. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My guest was Joe Bonetti, Mayor of Coos Bay, Oregon.